Welcome, everyone, to episode 2 of Punks Who Can't Dunk. I'm Joseph Klein, alongside, like always, I got Brian Vieger by my side. Right, Brian?
What's up?
And today we are introducing the third member of the Punks Who Can't Dunk family, Samuel Kamen. Sam, how are you today, man?
Man, I'm doing great. I am so thrilled to be on this show and completely honored that y'all asked me to join the show. Like, man, I did not even know y'all needed a third person.
You know, we really didn't, but you're so intellectual with your sports knowledge. I mean, when Brian called me saying he knows this kid named Sam Kamen, I was like, we gotta do it.
Well, I appreciate the invite and thrilled to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, Sam. I mean, you can't dunk, right?
I cannot. Okay, so but I might not be a punk. That's still up in the air.
Why do you say that?
That's what I don't know.
Listening right now, Sam.
Maybe that is a punk move to think I'm a little cocky. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I feel like you are a punk right now, and you definitely can't dunk.
So, then I sure do qualify for this show.
I agree with that. Brian, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, as long as you're a punk who can't dunk, you're more than welcome on the show. So Steph Curry's welcome on the show.
Well, our audience, we're happy to introduce you to our third member, Sam Kamen. So without further ado, we're officially through week 6 of the NFL season and 1 week away from the NBA season. Man, it feels like it's been for forever, guys. You guys ready to talk about it?
Let's do it.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to start by talking one takeaway we have from each conference in the NFL. Now, Sam, I heard you're an NFL expert. I already know Brian is. So this is why we pulled you into the show. So I'm going to have you go first, Brian go second, and we're going to save the best for last, and I'm going to go third. Sound good?
That sounds fine. So my first takeaway from the NFC conference, the North, is the San Francisco 49ers. They are continuing their winning streak as they remain undefeated, beating the Los Angeles Rams in convincing fashion last night. And man, I am just impressed by their defense. They held the Rams offense to 7 points the week before, the Browns to 3. And I really like see this team being a real contender. Kyle Shanahan's done a great job with the team. Garoppolo coming back off of injury has been solid. The addition of Tevin Coleman, very key. And actually, for that matter, like Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida in that backfield is pretty dangerous. It kind of gives me a reminds me of the Atlanta Falcons of years past, but that's my NFC conference. I don't know about y'all, but I am really high on these San Francisco 49ers right now.
I'll tell you what, that defensive line they have over there with Nick Bosa, D Ford, it's pretty scary. If you've got an offensive line that's, you know, not top tier in the NFL, your quarterback's going to be on the ground a lot, and I think opposing teams are starting to respect what that defensive line can really do. We saw Baker Mayfield struggle. We saw Andy Dalton struggle. Everyone that's gone up against that defensive line just really can't get anything going on the ground or through the air.
Well, maybe most impressive by them is the fact that they were able to hold the Rams to 7 points. The Sean McVay-led Rams got held to 7 points in a regular season
that's
game.
That's pretty easy. Crazy right there.
So, Brian, what are your biggest NFC takeaway? What is it?
Okay, looking at the NFC, I'm gonna rag on your Cowboys a little bit, Joseph. You know, we open up the season with 3 wins. Everyone's happy. Dallas is looking good. But if you look at those teams, they beat the Giants with Eli Manning still starting. Danny Dimes wasn't in there yet. They beat the Redskins, who, you know, just won a game. They beat the Dolphins because the Dolphins went for the two-point conversion, didn't actually want to win that game. Then they beat the Dolphins, and now they've played two decent teams and the Jets. They've lost all three of those games. The Saints, they were against the Saints, they were only able to score 10 points. Against the Packers, it was like 3-30 at one point. Like, they didn't look like a good team. And they lost to the Jets. Sam Darnold, coming off of mono, hadn't played since week one. And he was able to tear up that defense. That defense that is supposed to be one of the best in the league. You know, that linebacking core with Sean Lee, Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith. They were supposed to be one of the top in the league, and it's not looking like it right now.
Yeah, it unfortunately isn't. But that's not even my biggest takeaway from the NFC. My biggest takeaway is the New Orleans Saints. I am stunned that they really... I mean, Sean Payton has to be right now the coach of the year. They haven't missed a beat from losing a Hall of Fame quarterback who was an MVP candidate last year to Teddy Bridgewater, who didn't start for over 2 years in a row. And he comes in, and if you look at the scores, you wouldn't know Drew Brees isn't playing until you look at the stat sheet. So I'm very impressed by how Payton has gone about that, the way they've changed their entire offense. It's now more short plays to Kamara, curls to Michael Thomas. You're no longer having the deep shots because, obviously, Bridgewater and Brees are two different players. But what I will say is it is very impressive to see a great coaching adjustment in week two of the regular season. I can't think of the last time I've seen a drastic coaching adjustment happening in week two of the regular season, and that's why they're my biggest NFC takeaway right now. AFC guys.
I don't know about that one, because if you look at they've only scored 30 points against the Seahawks and Buccaneers, who don't have great defenses. And then the next two games they score 12 and 13. I would say the biggest takeaway from the Saints is more the defensive side of the ball, holding the Cowboys to 10. And in my opinion, the Cowboys have one of the most balanced offenses, even though it has not looked like it this past 2 weeks.
I hear you on that, but I don't think that matches what I'm saying, because what I'm trying to say is that the coaching adjustments have won them these games. Sam, if Drew Brees was playing right now, would we be talking about these same coaching styles by Sean Payton? No, he had to revamp everything he has done coaching-wise to change entire tactics for a different style quarterback.
Well, look at the talent Teddy Bridgewater has around him. You mentioned it. Alvin Kamara, one of the best running backs in the league. Michael Thomas, one of the best wide receivers in the league. A pretty good offensive line, given a rookie center, but still pretty good offensive line. I mean, I know he's a backup quarterback, but I would still expect him to succeed in that situation, especially, you know, I mean, coming off injury, that's rough, but he looked good in Minnesota before he had that injury.
He did look good in Minnesota, but I don't think anyone ever considered him a franchise quarterback. I think people considered him a mediocre talent who will go 8-8. If you disagree, I'm curious.
I don't know if that narrative has changed, because like Sam said, he scored 9 points, he scored 10 points, he scored 13 points. I mean, he won two of those games, but
as you just said, if you're a quarterback in the league, and I think it's an unfair narrative, and I'll be the first to say it, if you throw 50 yards and you win a football game, it's almost considered better than throwing 500 yards and losing a football game. I mean, 2013 week 6, or week 5 in Dallas, Tony Romo threw 506 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception against the Denver Broncos, and lost 51-48. Is that Romo's fault they lost?
Well, he was going up against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
But that's irrelevant. Is that Romo's fault that they lost that football game? No. But people would blame it on Romo because he had that one interception. So now, you flip it, Bridgewater is only throwing for 200 yards, but his job right now is to be a game manager, and they're winning football games.
I mean, you're not wrong. They are winning football games, which, bottom line, is what you got to do in the NFL. You got to win football games. So
to the AFC we go. Sam, hit it off.
Man, I don't know what to say, but I really think it's the same narrative over and over and over again. The AFC is going to go through New England. I don't see, as good as Baltimore has looked with Lamar Jackson this year, which has been a surprise for me, I don't see them having enough offense to take on the Patriots. Houston's looked decent at times. Their record, obviously, I think is just does not reflect how they're playing. I think they could be easily 2-4 right now. And Kansas City has not looked great these past 2 weeks with losses. So, again, here we go again. Is Tom Brady going to go for yet another ring?
I have to say I think he is.
I don't see anything stopping him from another Super Bowl.
That defense is too good. The Patriots' defense is too good right now. Like, they don't have the offensive weapons that they always have. Like, I feel like it's a narrative that they want people to say, but they really don't. I mean, last game, Josh Gordon and Dorsett were both hurt, and they won the football. It's just, and they put up 35 points.
It was the New York Giants, though, so.
But, as I've been saying, wins are wins. You have to win football games. My Cowboys lost to the dang Jets yesterday. You Jets have to win games you are supposed to win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I to answer your question, Sam, I have to believe that they are making another Super Bowl.
I even went out on a limb and was thinking when they picked up Antonio Brown and had him on the team, I thought the Patriots were going to be unstoppable and go undefeated, perfect 19-0 this season.
Sam, I mean, I hate to break the news to you, man.
He's not on the team anymore, likely, but
they're still 6-0 right now, man. I mean, your crazy limb may be true. Games.
Hey, I mean, if I was in Vegas right now, my bet would be looking pretty good right now.
How old are you?
Sadly, not enough.
Okay,
I'm not old enough.
So let's not do that route because we don't want to get her in trouble. So if you're not over the age of 21, please do not gamble. Brian, what are your biggest takeaways?
Okay, I'm gonna have to disagree with Sam. I'm gonna make a bold prediction here and say the AFC champion is gonna be the Houston Texans. Now, they opened season against the Saints, who did have Drew Brees at the time, and you know really should have won that game if it weren't for a super long field goal by Will Lutz and an insane drive by Drew Brees at the end of the game. They definitely win that game. Then they go and they beat the Jaguars. They beat the Chargers. They lose to the Panthers in an ugly game, in a very ugly game that I don't want to talk about. But then they drop a 50 bomb on the Falcons. Deshaun Watson goes off, goes insane. And they go into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, maybe the best quarterback in the league right now. I think Deshaun Watson, even we were worried about this team because of their offensive line. They drafted Titus Howard in the first round. And, you know, he's looked a little bit better than I expected him to, but nothing special. But Deshaun Watson's mobility has kept him alive, kept him in games, kept him in plays at a time. And when DeAndre Hopkins on the outside, I think they have a chance to beat anyone in the league at any given time.
I mean, the way the Texans are playing right now, I think you would have to say that they're a streaky team. And if they're on a hot streak, you have to think they're going to win the football game. I mean, first of all, as you said, they dropped a 50-piece, which is not very easy to do in the NFL.
Not anyone.
Right. And then, second, they didn't only drop a 50-piece. The next week, they won an Arrowhead, which I think maybe the consensus number one place, hardest place to play in the NFL. So, I couldn't agree more on that statement. Even though that's not my shocking takeaway, that would be one of mine.
The only issue I have with Houston right now is can they keep Deshaun Watson healthy? He's
agreed.
He tore his ACL a couple years ago. He had a back injury in the Saints game that might have been a little bit of why they lost, just because he couldn't go. He wasn't a full 100% the rest of that game. So if they can keep Deshaun Watson healthy, I mean, they look pretty good.
I have never seen a quarterback get hit as much as Deshaun Watson. And I'm not saying hit. Like, I'm saying, like, pop. Like, knocked to the ground pop. He gets obliterated in the pocket.
That offensive line is not good. We're not sugarcoated.
He should have played baseball in his childhood, because that man can't slide for a damn. He went to Robert Griffin School of Sliding.
Oh, gosh.
My biggest takeaway is actually a disappointment, and it's the LA Chargers. I've heard people say it all along, the Cowboys are the Chargers of the NFC. I mean, you can argue Rivers, Romo. I'm not going to get into that because Romo's so much better. But just going off this season, I don't know what to say. I mean, a team that comes in with high hopes. 2 weeks ago, Melvin Gordon comes back. I mean, it's nothing. They just lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who didn't even have Mason Rudolph playing. They had a
third-string quarterback.
They had Hodges. Like, this is not a team that should be beating you. When I said the New York Jets was a bad loss, then this is a horrible loss. They allowed 24 points to a third-string quarterback. Big Ben's out for the year. They're coming in this game looking to go 3-3 to stay alive in that division because the Chiefs lost the dang football game in Arrowhead, and they blew it. That's not how you make the playoffs. That's how you make a top pick in the draft. And that's right now, I can honestly say if I was a Charger fan, I would be extremely disappointed with what I've seen from the squad.
How much do you think of their, like, struggles is due to Melvin Gordon and his antics of trying to hold out for a bigger contract?
I don't know the answer to that, but what I can say is they've looked worse since he has come back.
Yeah. Austin Eckler filled that role pretty well. He was the number one fantasy running back there for like the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. He scoring touchdowns, catching balls out of the backfield. He looked really good. But unfortunately, the rest of the team didn't.
This doesn't seem like an issue. Like, obviously, we're not in the locker room, so we don't know. But this doesn't seem like a locker room issue of a team. This is almost like a team just getting outplayed for hustle right now. If you walked into a room and you said Philip Rivers against Hodges, who are you taking?
Taking the Hall of Fame quarterback.
Okay. Because if you walked into a room and your next question was Keenan Allen, Juju Smith-Schuster, who are you taking?
I'm taking Keenan Allen there.
That's what I'm saying. Also, the Chargers may have the better O-line. That was not actually, they do have the better O-line. That was not an acceptable loss. That was actually a horrible loss on primetime Sunday Night Football. As the great Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth would say, here's a guy who needs to wake his team up.
Here's a guy.
So, everyone, starting with Sam again, same order. A shocking player that has stood out and disappointed or really impressed you this year. One.
My player has to be Kyle Allen. He has played well, and he's led the Panthers to a 4-2 record. He's undefeated when playing. I mean, I don't know if Cam Newton's going to have a job next week, even though he's expected to practice after their bye week. Where do I go to college? Texas A&M.
Where did Allen start out his collegiate career?
He started at Texas A&M.
That must have just... He must have had great coaching, though.
It was... As an Aggie, it was tough to watch week three with Kyle Allen going up against his former teammate, Kyler Murray.
In the Sumlin Bowl?
And basically the Sumlin Bowl there in Arizona. But, man, I have been very impressed with he's been able to get the ball to McCaffrey, and he understands just his weapons around him. He's not trying to make himself make the big play. He's just making the simple play. And, man, McCaffrey and Samuel, they're just making plays and helping the young quarterback out. And so I think Ron Rivera is going to have a very tough decision in if he chooses to go back to Cam Newton, who, in my honest opinion, has fallen off.
Do you trade Cam Newton?
See, I think Cam still has value. I just don't know how much, because I don't know how many years of football he still has left in him. He's getting old. He's kind of a Deshaun Watson-ish. He's gotten beat up these past couple of years.
Like
a shoulder injury.
Andrew Luck.
I'm kind of concerned. I would try to trade and see if anyone wants Cam, because I know the Broncos would love to have a quarterback right now, because Joe Flacco is just not doing it for them.
Reportedly, there are about 10 teams interested in trading for Cam if the Panthers wanted to go that route.
Thanks, Brian Rappaport.
So, I'm very high on Kyle Allen. I'm looking really thrilled to see what he can do against, because next week he's got the 49ers.
Ooh.
So that'll be a very tough matchup for him.
Brian, what player stood out to you through 6 weeks?
Okay, we've talked a lot about the positives here. So I'm gonna read out quarterback's interceptions game by game, and I want y'all to guess who it is. First game, 3, then 1, then 1, then 1, then 2, then 3. Who do you think that is?
Baker Mayfield.
You're exactly right. From one transfer quarterback to another, Baker Mayfield is leading the league in interceptions. Last year's number one overall pick has only had one game with a quarterback rating of above a 100. This man is having maybe the worst start to a season that a number one overall pick coming off such a great season has ever had. He's not winning football games for the Browns. The Browns only have 2 wins, which I know for the Browns, coming off an 0-16 season 2 years ago, it's kind of exciting. But they finished last year strong, and Baker Mayfield isn't getting it done this year. He isn't winning them football games. He has so many weapons around him. He has Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. Carlos Hyde's not there yet, but he's going to come back. Or not Carlos Hyde, Kareem Hunt. This guy isn't getting it done. And I don't know what's going on with Baker Mayfield. So much hype coming into the season, just not looking good.
I completely agree with you on that. I also think that opposing teams have a goal to kill him in the pocket because he talks so much.
Yeah, no one really, if you're not a Cleveland fan,
you don't like Baker.
You don't like Baker. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you on that. Sam, anything else to say on that topic before I say mine?
Sadly, I bought the hype preseason. I thought the Browns would be.
You watched a lot of the preseason.
I actually thought the Browns were going to be in the playoffs and even make a push and challenge the Patriots for a little bit. I mean, I can't agree more with what Brian has said. Just the whole Browns team, just or offense. I mean, you've got Baker Mayfield, you've got Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt that's supposed to come back, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham. You have all of these weapons, and
don't forget one of the top tight ends, David Njoku.
Definitely, and you only muster up like 2 wins against the Jets and the Ravens. They played well. I mean, they've only played 1 good game, in my opinion.
Yeah. They only get 3 points against the Niners. Only 3 points.
On Monday Night Football. That was just embarrassing to watch.
Yep.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway is actually in a negative way, and it's going to be receiver. I'm a little disappointed in this receiver just because I love watching him play. I mean, when I said the best receiver in the NFL is DeAndre Hopkins, I said that expecting him to go off this year. He's averaging... The last five games he's played, besides his first week, which he had 111 yards, these are his receiving numbers. 40 yards, 67 yards, 41 yards, 88 yards, and 55 yards. We're talking about DeAndre Hopkins right here. We're talking about DeAndre Hopkins. Like, is that what you guys expected from him?
One of those was a 50-bomb, too, that we were talking about earlier. He still didn't have over 100 yards in that game.
Correct. Like, don't get me wrong. Will Fuller has impressed me, and I know it's probably because they're doubling Hopkins over the top and all, but we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins. We're talking about pretty much a consensus top three receiver in the NFL. I've never heard someone say Will Fuller is a top 10 receiver.
Joseph, you want to go into media days and talk to Deshaun Watson, and maybe he'll explain what kind of coverage they're running against Hopkins. Maybe then you'll understand why he's not getting all the touches he deserves.
That's part of the issue, that the dang O-line doesn't have the time to block for him. But
yeah,
that's kind of one,
know,
thing, one thing that has shocked me. If you haven't watched football in previous years, you would think Will Fuller is the best receiver in the NFL. I mean,
yeah, I don't know about that. But
okay, maybe not best, but you would think he's better than DeAndre Hopkins.
If you just look at the stats, yeah, I'd agree.
And that's why we don't listen to other people. We just are the punks who can't dunk. So
Never wrong.
Okay, one more question on the NFL before we hit the NBA up. Coaches on the hot seat. Everyone just name one if you think one. If you don't think any are, there are none. I feel like we may all have a consensus answer on this.
Well, let's let Sam start again. Y'all are going to say Jason Garrett, and I don't see it. Like,
Wait, what?
I am not pressing the panic button on Jason Garrett just yet.
11 years isn't enough to press it?
They are 3-3. They're fine.
Sam,
they're
who did they? Sam, he was outcoached by the dang Jets.
Joseph, you're 3-3. You're tied for the top of the NFC East. All you have to do is get out of the East, get a playoff spot, and then who knows from there?
I know all. You lose a divisional weekend.
You lose to the Packers.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're 2-0 in the division right now. You have to face
the Eagles
twice.
They play the Eagles Sunday Night Football in Dallas this week. If Garrett loses that and gets outcoached by Doug Peterson, I think you have to say his time, or almost very close to his time.
Well, Cowboys fans were all in on Kellen Moore after 3 weeks. How are y'all feeling about him now, Joseph?
As Romo said yesterday, this looks like Garrett's footprints are on the offense. I think Garrett is involved in this offense. This is not the offense you saw the first 3 weeks of the season. There's no more reverses. There's no more screen passes, trick plays. This is like set like three plays. It seems like in Madden when you run the stick play, the Y stick, the slant, or the scat, and then you have the dagger. I mean, I can see him running it in the game. It literally looks like Jason Garrett is playing Madden and presses coach's suggestions before he picks a play.
So you think Jason Garrett should be out of there?
If I were the Cowboys, my number one head coaching option is Tony Romo, but I doubt he leaves the booth. So take that one out. What I would do is I would fire Jason Garrett, move the interim head coach to let Chris Richard be the interim head coach. The players love Chris Richard, respect him. That's who I would have be the interim head coach. The head coach that I try to get full-time is Lincoln Riley, and I try to get him in the offseason. And I think you have to make a hard push of Lincoln Riley. Clearly, Riley develops quarterbacks extremely well. And as everyone who watches sports know, apparently the Cowboys have a near $40 million quarterback that people see potential in. So potential is one thing, but developing potential is another thing. So if you...
What about Jim Harbaugh?
I think
he's going to leave Michigan?
I think that's an interesting question. I don't think that helps to what's needed. What's needed is a quarterback fix. And if you see what Harbaugh's done at Michigan, it isn't very impressive with quarterbacks.
Yeah, true. You're not wrong.
So, Ryan, with your comment, Jason Garrett as well?
No, I was thinking maybe Dan Quinn for the Falcons. I mean, they opened the season 1-5. They haven't looked competitive in almost any of their games. He's supposed to be a defensive-minded head coach coming over from Seattle, you know, a few years back, took them to the Super Bowl, and now they're 1-5 to open the season. Still have Julio Jones, still have Calvin Ridley, still have Austin Hooper, still have Devontae Freeman. How are they not winning games? I think the problem might lie with the head coach.
I agree. So
I don't know. I don't think Dan Quinn is more on the hot seat than Jason Garrett, but I just have a problem with teams firing head coaches in the middle of the season, because it's almost like you give up on the season.
I agree. I don't think you ever, I don't think unless a huge downfall and you lose like a locker room completely, you don't fire midseason.
So.
But that's the NFL for you. We're 1 week away from my favorite sport, basketball. I know you guys are huge basketball guys. Even though we all can't dunk, when we play pickup, it's a wrap.
Oh, yeah.
We've never lost a 3-on-3 pickup game. So, now I will say something pretty quick for our viewers to hear. We were playing pickup in the gym. Brian had a breakaway layup. Got a layup pinned, top of the backboard pinned. The player goes to Vanderbilt. Shout out whoever goes to, I forgot his name, but shout out to that player.
Cleavon Brown.
But
it was a goaltend. I didn't call it because, you know, it's just a pickup game, but was a goaltend.
The real reason that I'm mentioning that is because Cleavon can't be on this podcast because he can dunk.
He can dunk.
So,
James,
heading into the NBA season, Brian, Sam, you're starting us off again, buddy, so get ready. What do you, biggest headline, name one thing that you are looking forward to.
For me, it's the
In each conference.
And I'm just going to say the entire league. It's the possibility of the unknown. You don't really have a singled out favorite. I think this year, the dynasties, the super teams have split up enough to where, honestly, it's the whole league is wide swinging open. I mean, it could be the Bucks. It could still be the Warriors. It could be the Rockets this year. Heck, the Spurs still make the playoffs. The Spurs could still be in there. The Sixers. I think this year is, I am in actually really looking forward to watching this year, and it's been the first time in 5 years that I'm actually excited, because the past couple of years, it's like, okay, it's going to be LeBron and the Warriors, and just, I'll see you when the finals come around. But this year, the regular season means something. The postseason is going to be a lot, I feel like, a lot of game sevens, a lot of tight series. I'm really looking forward to, like I said, the possibility of the unknown. Who's going to emerge this season?
Yeah, you know, that leads me for the West. I'm very excited for the New Orleans Pelicans. I think they got better over the offseason. They lose Anthony Davis, but I think they gain enough. I think they're a better team this year than they were last year. They got Zion. They got Lonzo. They got Brandon Ingram. They'll have Drew Holiday. They got J.J. Redick. Jackson Hayes in the first round. They have Jahlil Okafor. They got
Derek
Favors over from Utah.
Josh Hart.
They got Josh Hart. I think this team has the depth to compete with a lot of teams. If Brandon Ingram can take that step forward, just a few years back, we were comparing him to Kevin Durant. We thought that's the path his career would go on. If he can get even close to that, if Lonzo can produce the way he did at the beginning of his career in Los Angeles. Zion is the person he's supposed to be. This is definitely a playoff team. This is definitely a team that can win a couple series in the Western Conference, and that's saying a lot because this Western Conference is stacked.
What I'm most intrigued by is in the West, and probably actually in the entire league to see, is the Houston Rockets. I am from the belief that there are not that James Harden and Russell Westbrook, neither of them are willing to play off the ball. People say they're friends, blah, blah, blah. When you get into game time, adrenaline takes over. And when adrenaline takes over, you want to show. I don't, in a 90, I'm going to ask both of you a question. In a 99-97 game, 1 minute left in the game, Houston's down by two. Who's taking the ball up?
It's Harden.
And who's taking the shot then?
James Harden.
And if James Harden misses, who's taking it up the next possession?
James Harden.
James Harden.
And then what's that going to do in the locker room?
I think Russell Westbrook needs to know his place. It's behind James Harden. The MVP 2 years ago, maybe should have been MVP last year. The best one-on-one player in the entire league. I think Russell Westbrook should know his place, and it's behind James Harden.
But that's easier said than done. Do you think Russell Westbrook knows his place? Because I will be the first to tell you I do not.
I agree. I don't think so.
I think Mike D'Antoni is going to have a tough job again. He sure does like teams with some egos. And I feel like this year's going to be another one of those. If he can figure out a way, see, for me, if I'm Mike D'Antoni, I'm putting the ball in Westbrook's hands because I don't know about you, but when he puts his head down and like drives to the basket, I don't think anyone wants to touch him. And if someone comes to help, I mean, you've got James Harden right there. You've got knockdown shooters all around. You've got Clint Capella to clean up the boards. I think this team is very capable of a lot of things, but like you said, it's going to come down to the chemistry. And if Russell Westbrook and James Harden can quote unquote share the ball and share their one-on-one time, I think they'll be pretty hard to beat.
Flip it a little to the other conference. Let's hit up the East. Sam, start us off again.
All I've got to say is trust the process. Ben Simmons has found a jump shot.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Ben Simmons has found a jump shot. He has actually made a three-pointer. And, man, that was the coolest thing I saw out of the entire preseason.
Did you watch a lot of the preseason? Like, you can say
no, that. I did not watch a lot of the preseason. I do not. I don't care. Like, I think preseason football, preseason basketball is honestly just kind of pointless. I don't see the point in having a bunch of games in this long, drawn-out preseason. Unlike baseball, you have spring training, you have a lot of guys trying to make a roster. Basketball kind of needs to cut the season down, in my opinion. Like I said, the one thing I saw, and that was via Twitter, Ben Simmons hitting a jump shot, actual three-pointer, found a jump shot this summer. So that's all I can say out of the East is watch out. 76ers are coming with Ben Simmons.
Brian?
I'll tell you a whole team that I'm excited for that has a jump shot is the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young. I'll be the first to say I didn't believe in Trae Young coming out of Oklahoma, but he impressed me second half of last year. I thought maybe he even should have won Rookie of the Year over Luka Doncic, and that's saying a lot because I think very highly of Luka Doncic. They got Cam Reddish, who's
supposedly a knockdown shooter for this team. They got Kevin Huerter, who is a knockdown shooter for this team. John Collins, who can do a little bit of everything. I think this team's a little scary. And with, you know, the depleted East, Kawhi Leonard gone, I think they might make the playoffs this year. And I think they might give a couple teams some trouble. They got the veteran presence with Vince Carter, 42 years old or something? He can definitely dunk, so he's not allowed on the podcast, but
he can still dunk.
No, I hear you on that. Atlanta was gonna be my team that I say to watch out for, and I was very intrigued by Cam Reddish as well. The other thing I can say is when you look at the other Eastern Conference teams, without Durant this year, this is the Sixers conference to lose. Sixers and Bucks and then everyone else. But that everyone else includes the team that I'm most looking forward to seeing, how they bounce back from a very disappointing last season to Boston Celtics. Last season, all the high hopes didn't live up to anything. This year, people can say Kyrie was toxic. They got Kemba Walker. Kemba has never been known as a toxic player, so that excuse isn't going to fly. The piece that I think they're going to really regret losing is Al Horford. Big Al was the influencer on defense. He kind of directed everyone to go to their part. All of a sudden, Marcus Smart now has the biggest leadership role on the team. I don't know if my team wants Marcus Smart being the biggest leader.
Hey, Enes Kanter's there wearing that number 11, so no one can wear it again.
Enes Kanter, that is someone that is jersey sales time 3.
I don't know. Taco Fall might have him beat.
True.
The excitement surrounding Taco Fall is insane.
I mean,
did you see when he was in Orlando? They were just all the Orlando people because he went to UCF was just Taco, and they went nuts for him.
Going to a Spurs game when Boban was there, it was the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. He was foreign, but like Taco, like, he meant something to South Florida, especially in UCF's national tournament run last season. So I think that just meant a little bit more to see him get to play and see him have that reception there in Orlando.
So one more question, or actually two more questions before we're done. First question I've got to ask you guys. One signing, either conference, you pick, that this offseason you think is going to be a key addition this season.
Brian, you get to go first. I'm going first all day.
I'm gonna go with Jimmy Butler in the East with the Miami Heat. Like Joseph said earlier, you got the Celtics, you got the Bucks. After that, whole conference is pretty much open.
I actually did not say that. I said you have the Sixers and the Bucks, but please continue.
Okay, well, I think you have those three teams, the Sixers, Bucks, and Celtics. But Jimmy Butler's wanted to be, he's wanted to be a leader for quite a while. It's why he left Minnesota, because he couldn't lead those guys. He thought they had no energy. They didn't want to be playing basketball. Now he is the complete leader of the Miami Heat. Undisputed. No one on the team better than him. I want to see what he can do as the number one option. I want to see what he can do leading this team and getting the players around him excited to play with him.
Sam?
I mean, I think it still comes down to the Rockets. Getting rid of, making the trade of Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, I think it adds a new dynamic that they just did not have these past couple seasons, as they could not get over the hump to get to the finals. And I, looking at the West, I really don't see a lot of, I don't know how I don't put them in the finals with their roster right now.
Yeah, wow. I don't know. I think it's too early for finals predictions, because I think if you have a healthy Anthony Davis and LeBron James, that's who's making the finals. And then if you have a healthy Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, that could be who's making the finals.
I don't know. That's...
But we're a long way away from June, young man.
I don't know.
No, I'm pretty certain we're a long way away from June. I'm pretty sure about that statement.
I don't know. Bold prediction. That might happen. We'll see what I end up predicting. Okay. I still got 7 more days.
Okay, well, in 7 days when we have another podcast, and I'm expecting to hear it.
Alrighty.
My biggest off-season addition is it's gonna sound a little cheesy because you wouldn't expect it to be that big, but New Orleans Pelicans adding J.J. Redick.
Wow.
I think
never missed playoffs.
That's not even the reason, but yes, that is a stat. He never missed the playoffs, but the reason I think that's the biggest addition is when you have a player like Zion Williamson, Lonzo Ball, even a LeBron James type, who you have to spread the floor to succeed. Look at what Milwaukee did last year. They just spread the floor. The Pelicans have 4 players on rookie deals. Zion, Lonzo, Hart, Ingram. All 4 key players on rookie deals. They have the luxury to spend a lot of money on a 1-year player who isn't worthy of the money he's going to receive, but he can be that impactful, and that's what J.J. Redick is. That ability to not help off him. The same reason I was shocked the Sixers let him go, him and Bellinelli go. Because if you have Ben Simmons in them too, I think you're in the finals last year over the Raptors. It's the ability to create a shot for someone else, and when the defense collapses in, a 3 is open, and that's what J.J. Redick gives you. You can't help off him. I think he was the biggest off-season signing for sure.
Wow, bigger than Kawhi Leonard?
Okay, I meant like most underrated. Take that back, sorry.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, do you see what I'm saying with that?
Yeah, I mean, he knows how to win, obviously. He's never missed the playoffs. He has great experience. He's a great veteran. J.J. Redick, he's got a lot of young pieces around him now. I think it was a great signing. I agree.
I just don't, for me, it's, I don't know. I don't think the Pelican, that one move is going to flip the Pelicans into the playoffs. Or just, because for me, J.J. Redick has only a couple years left in the NBA.
But his role has always been known.
His role's always been known, but how much is it going to affect the team this year? I don't see a huge effect because I don't think the Pelicans. I don't think very highly of the Pelicans. If you wanted to,
but
say
you're the
Kawhi
same.
Leonard,
but we're listening right now to the same person that thinks highly of Jason Garrett.
I mean, what's wrong with Jason Garrett?
Sam, what's right with Jason Garrett?
Man, we should have talked about this a little bit more when we were talking about NFL, not NBA.
Well, before we end this podcast, because we're ending it after this basketball topic, we'll be for sure to talk about Jason Garrett, so get to it.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with Jason Garrett?
What's wrong with Jason Garrett? There is nothing wrong with Jason Garrett. If you want to make memes out of him all day because players don't high-five him, go at him. If you want to make memes of him throwing the challenge flag and having a flag off, go at him. If you want to get mad at him for not going for it last year, and then this year he goes for fourth and two and runs the ball instead of kicking a field goal, go at it for him, because I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think the Cowboys are just a tad overhyped right now.
How can you, Sam, for 11 years you're dealing with mediocrity. This is one of the teams that's the youngest and up-and-coming teams in the NFL. You have an elite O-line. You have Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. You have Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. You have Tony Pollard as your backup running back, who people are very high on. On defense, you have Byron Jones, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, DeMarcus Lawrence, Robert Quinn. This team should not be losing football games to mediocre teams. That's not who this team is.
I understand you losing to the Jets, but losing to the Saints, and who'd they lose to week 5?
The Packers. So they were outcoached in 3 straight games.
They've always been bad against the Packers, first off. And the Saints, you go into New Orleans, I mean, I was not expecting them to win that game, even without Drew Brees.
Sam.
Sam, I will say, coming from a Bengals fan, I had so many years of mediocrity with Marvin Lewis. And now it's over. My team is 0-6, but I'm still much happier than I would be if we had Marvin Lewis as our head coach.
I don't know about that. Oh.
I think he can talk on his behalf without your permission.
I don't know.
No, I'm pretty certain he can.
Let's go back to the NBA.
Okay. So, last question. One bold prediction. Everyone, upcoming season.
I can start this one off. The Spurs backcourt. Derek White and DeJounte Murray both finish with first team all defensive NBA.
Whoa. Honors. Okay. That's pretty funny because my prediction was actually that the Pelicans backcourt both finishes with one, both with first team all defensive NBA, wow, with Holiday and Ball.
Well, DeJounte Murray as a rookie got second team all, or as a sophomore got second team all defensive NBA. Tore his ACL last year. I think he comes back. I think he gets that honor. He didn't start the whole season, his sophomore season, and he still got the second team all defensive NBA honors. This past year, Derek White proved to be one of the best defensive guards in the entire league. He received voting for an all defensive team this year. Didn't get it, but received voting from many people. I think they come out, they compliment each other. I think they both get the first team all defensive NBA honors.
Sam, end of.
Bold prediction. The Los Angeles Lakers will be first rounded. They will not.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to say they weren't going to make the playoffs, but I see them making the playoffs, but I see them as a low, maybe 6-7, probably a 6 seed. And them losing in the first round.
Ooh, okay.
That
pot is sizzling.
I am not saying Anthony Davis is bad or
I LeBron truly would hope you're not.
Is too old. I just don't think the coaching is there.
Okay.
I don't think Luke Walton's still there, right?
No.
No, who's the coach then?
Frank Vogel.
Coach LeBron James.
Oh.
Frank Vogel.
Well, yeah, that's a better coach, but I still don't see them. I see them getting first rounded. That's my bold prediction right now.
I like it.
Since Brian came up with a backcourt, I'll end it on this. My bold prediction is that De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley are going to be the best young duo in the league this upcoming season.
Wow. Oh, I like that a lot. They got a lot of pieces around them, too.
And I think Buddy Hield is an up-and-coming player who can fill into a role like J.J. Redick. Even though he can't shoot as well, he can still shoot the damn basketball.
Bogdanovich can play the one or the two out there. He's pretty good.
So, and Luke Walton's their head coach, just in case our fans were wondering because Sam messed him up. But on that note, we're out.
Thanks, Punk Nation.